Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson that we just heard a moment ago. And it's just like how we just talked about this on Sunday and the week before. The conversation continues. Last week we heard this encounter that Jesus had with a man who had run up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus used this question to teach the man and us that there is nothing that anyone can do to earn salvation and eternal life for themselves. God is the one who must act if we are to have eternal life. Jesus specifically showed this young man that he loved his stuff more than he loved God. Jesus said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all you have, and give it to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But the young man, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus gave that man a lot to think about. He had to come to grips with his own sin of idolatry and his own need for forgiveness in Jesus Christ. So today's gospel that we heard continues this account. As the man went away sorrowful, Jesus looked around and saw his disciples standing there. He said, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at these words. Jesus said something fairly reasonable to us. We kind of understand it. But the disciples, they were amazed at his words in that day. Why did these words seem so unusual to the disciples at that time, when they don't seem to be all that unusual to us? Well, there is the need for us to remember things about the Bible. When we study the Bible and when we look at a verse or a particular passage, we've got to remember three words. You learn them in the seminary all the time. And that's context, context, and context. What's going on here? In the day of Jesus, a rich man was considered, we applaud him. Good for him. That's wonderful. God has blessed him. That's great. But that's not so how it is today. Many look down on a wealthy individual. Many criticize him and condemn him because, well, they're not doing what we think they should be doing with their money. But yet it's the same thing. God has blessed many of those who are wealthy. God has blessed them very much. But the 21st century culture of this United States simply does not have the respect for wealth that they had in the day of Jesus when he walked the earth. In fact, there's quite a few of us that look down on God. The first instinct of many people in our culture today is to assume that, well, these wealthy people are somehow unethical, cruel, heartless, unfeeling, and so on and so on. That's not the case that it was in first century Israel. The average citizen in first century Israel looked up to the wealthy people, as long as the person came by their wealth, honestly. Hard work, good fortune, inheritance, and whatnot. Wealthy people were considered blessed by God. So when Jesus said, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God," everyone that heard Jesus say this was shocked. Well, if the wealthy have a hard time getting into the kingdom of God, what are we supposed to do? That's the reason the disciples were so amazed at the words that Jesus spoke. saying the eye of the needle metaphor. He said to them again, children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Remember, the culture thought that it was easier for rich people to enter the kingdom of God than it was for poor people. That meant rich people. Everyone thought they had it made. They were doing just fine. It was us poor folk. And now it's in today's time, it's reversed. So the impossibility of a rich person entering the kingdom of God is greater than the impossibility of a camel passing through the eye of a needle. So what Jesus is telling his disciples then, and he's telling us now, getting into the kingdom of heaven is actually very difficult for a camel. So when the disciples ask the question, who then can be saved? The obvious answer is that nobody can do this. No one, not the rich, poor, can enter into the kingdom of God. That is the message of the law in today's gospel. The teaching in today's gospel is not that it's bad to be rich, that no one is able to enter the kingdom of God with their own resources. And Jesus said that the most respected people of the culture could not earn their way into God's kingdom. He was saying that none of us, poor or rich, can earn a place in God's kingdom. We don't have that ability. All of us are likely to enter God's kingdom as a camel is likely to pass through the eye of the needle. Then revealed the one and only way to enter into the kingdom of God. He looked at them and he said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. And this is the main teaching of the gospel for us. It is indeed true that no one can earn his or her way into the kingdom of God. Instead, our Heavenly Father, God above all gods, do all the work. When God does all the work, it makes it look easy for us. Notice earlier in the service, it looked like the son that I stood there and gave you forgiveness of all your sins. I didn't. It's God that's doing all the work here. It's not me. It's not the word. It's the word of God. Easy for me. In fact, that's all the work. I said this before, it's actually pretty easy to get a minister, a good, true minister of the word, because you don't have to make anything out of it. You just have to go by the word of God. Holy baptism looks really simple. A few words, a little water. Doesn't look like much. God makes it look easy because he does all the work. Doesn't look like much because God is so awesome. He's so mighty. And now even this sermon that you're listening to right now might sound like it's a simple speech by this guy called being a pastor. When in fact, this is the word of God being preached. That's why sermon is a sermon, but it's about Jesus Christ. In fact, all these things that you are witnessing are more amazing than a camel passing through the eye of a needle. You are witnessing God's work forgiving sins and holy God. wine. Although it looks easy for us, it wasn't that easy for Jesus Christ. Animal, through an eagle's eye, pales in comparison to what Jesus did to bring about salvation for you and I. In order to bring you and I into the kingdom of God, Jesus, the very Son of God himself, had to take on human flesh. He came on it. He had to live with sinful people without sinning himself. Think of the temptations that he had to endure. Then he had to suffer unjust torture and shame, and then the cruel death of crucifixion of our cross. He could have walked away from it. That's God to do. His death, the death of a perfect, holy, and innocent man, did for us what is impossible for us to do. He made it possible for the kingdom of God to be in us and for us to be in the kingdom of God. When God brought you and I into his kingdom, everything that Jesus did now belongs to us. Jesus lived the perfect life, and you and I get the credit. Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross, and you and I get the credit. Jesus rose from the dead. You and I have the promise of eternal life. Jesus did all the work, yet you and I receive all the blessings. When we think about the miracles that God worked so that we can inherit eternal life, there's three things that stand out. First, Jesus had to take our place to satisfy God's justice. Our God is a wrathful God. He wants justice. Jesus paid it. Second of all, the Holy Spirit had to work the miracle of faith in us. How does that happen? Simply by hearing the Word of God read. Hearing it read to you out loud. That's why the reading from the lectern is the most important part of the service. Because we know from Holy Scripture that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of Christ. And then our faith is given. Jesus took our place by living the perfect life, dying on the cross, and rising from the dead. The Holy Spirit did his part by joining us to Jesus in faith so that everything Jesus did now belongs to us. Now the Holy Spirit delivers forgiveness to us in the water, in the Word, in the Gospel, in the absolution, forgiveness of our sins, and by the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, somehow. Quite a set of miracles that takes place frequently here. You want to cut back more off. With man, it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the wisdom.